All right, guys, tonight we're talking again about our identity, okay? About how we choose to identify ourselves. Give me just a second here. All right. Man, let me let you know that this is something that's, I believe, hugely important. Man, we have got to come to a place as young people, man, where we begin to understand who we are. That's just absolutely vital. We have to come to a place where we decide for ourselves, who are we? It's just got to be that way. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you, God, for your word that challenges us, Lord. We thank you for your presence that we can sense in this place. Lord, I pray that you would captivate our hearts and our minds. God, that you would allow your word to be powerful in our lives tonight. Father, give us an eagerness and a desire, God, to hear from you in a way that would allow us and cause us to want to change and be different. Father, I pray that we would discover tonight who it is that you say we are. Father, we get it from everyone else. We get it from so many other sources. But God, tonight, that we would consider what the God of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Creator, made us to be. Father, I pray you'd speak that into every single heart tonight, Father. Lord, make it plain for us to see. Help us to hear it. Help us to respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, here's the thing, man. Identity is absolutely vital. Why? Why is it vital? Well, man, unless we know who we are, we don't really know why we do the things that we do. We talked about this the first week. And how many was here last week? I know some went to camp. All right, so we got some. Okay, cool. Tia shared her testimony. Wish I could have been here. Heard it went great. And anyway, we'll have to get the video, right? But thank you so much for blessing us with that. Man, you got a little picture of who Tia is, okay? You got a picture of her identity, of what God's done in her life. And so we're looking at that today, and we've got to know who we are, or else we're doing things just because we're supposed to do them, or just because that's all we know. And at some point in our lives, we will stop doing the things that have become empty habits because we come to a place and we understand that they don't necessarily fit our identity, okay? And what I mean by empty habits is this. Even though you go to church now, even though you may not do some of the things that maybe your friends do now, most of the time you go to church because mom and dad say you're going to church. A lot of you guys know what I'm talking about. And you just hope and you pray, as ironic as that sounds, that mom and dad's alarm clock won't work on Sunday morning because you really don't want to go to church. I'm not talking to everybody, but you guys know what I'm talking about. And the reality is, from time to time, all of us are in that shape. Did Pastor say that? Yeah. All right, so here's the thing, man. Sometimes we're in that shape, and we just don't want to go. We don't want to be a part of things. And you got to know this. If you're not settled on who you are, if you've not established in your heart that, look, this is who I am. I'm this person all the time. I serve God all the time. Why? Not because I always have. Not because mom and dad said I should. Not because that's what I'm familiar with. Not because that's what I've always done. Not because of any of those reasons. The reason that I serve God, the reason that I do this God thing is because I want to. Because it's important to me. Because I have adopted it as a part of who I am. That I am going to be someone who serves God for my life. You have to come to that place as an individual where you make that choice for yourself. Or you just simply will stop doing it someday. That's just the way it works. And we talk to you all the time about, you know, that we're not here just so that you serve God for a little while. Let me tell you what would be an absolute failure in my mind. Man, we're blessed, and we've got a good group of people that gathers here on a Wednesday night, and it would be an absolute failure in my mind if we had a 20-year reunion, okay? So it's 2010, 2030, all right? We come back together, whatever. We had this big shindig at Constitution Park. Everybody comes out. We're all fat and ugly by that time, all right? And got 17 children and whatever. Y'all just do your thing and married, you know, whatever, whatever. It would be an absolute failure if we came together and we weren't serving God. Tell me what we've accomplished during this period of time, sharing the Word of God together, worshiping God. What have we accomplished during this period of time other than drawing a crowd? If 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road, we're not serving God. Can I be frank with you, man? That's something that really grabs my heart, dude. I would like nothing more than 20 years from now to get together and find out, look, man, we're not perfect. People made some mistakes, messed up a few times. But, dude, serving God. Serving God. Dude, that's it. That's what this is all about. That's what it amounts to. That's success. Now, maybe you're not pulling in the big bucks. Maybe you don't have the dream life that you pictured, but you're serving God, man, that we won. We won. Success. But that means that you as an individual, not mom and dad, not your friends, not that person sitting next to you, not the person that you know you admire or the one you don't or the one you look up or down to, no one else. You as an individual have to make a choice to look, I want to serve God. It's about our identity, man. We talked about how we get our identity. We talked about that the other week. Talked about many times that we can get our identity from our actions or our mistakes. Man, some of us, we made some bad choices and we got some regrets. And we've allowed those choices to become a big part of who we are. We've allowed those regrets to become so ingrained in who we are that we look at ourselves in the mirror and there's almost an air of disgust. Man, we think about ourselves and we think about the disappointment going, man, I can't get it out of my mind. Sometimes our mistakes help us to identify who we are. Society will help us do that. Man, you can't turn on the television without hearing what you should be like, seeing the clothes you should wear, the lifestyle you should live, or so they say. Society will do everything they can to fit you into a mold, to tell you what a 16, 17-year-old, 15, 14, 13-year-old young person ought to like. Man, they'll tell you that you know, being sexually active is just normal. They'll tell you that you know, being heterosexual, homosexual, that's just a preference. They'll tell you that you can live life how you want to do it, and that's okay. They'll tell you the music you should like, the activities you should be a part of. They'll tell you all that. They'll give you an image and make you reach for it. Society will try to identify you. Man, our identity is important. Others also will try to tell you what your identity is. Man, they'll try to tell you what you ought to be like. Every one of us influences others, and every one of us is influenced by others. And we have to be careful, man. What are the people that we're following? Who are they? Who are the individuals that we're looking up to? It's easy for us to look up to the folks with money or a little bit of influence or power, those sort of things. Man, regardless of if they serve the Lord or not, let me suggest to you that influence and power and those, you know, all that, it all fades away, man. Ultimately, it goes away. Man, what matters, what lasts is somebody's relationship with God. That's eternal. It doesn't go away. That's the stuff that it makes a difference and an impact in somebody's life that never, ever is lost. Man, I've been impacted by folks. Okay, for instance, there's this guy, Albert. I grew up in Knott's Island, North Carolina. I know you never heard of it. I wouldn't know unless I lived there. Little town. Nothing there, really. There's a stop sign. Okay, there's a stop sign. There's two roads. Actually, one road splits and does a circle. And there's a little gas station with two pumps and a post office. All right, so now you've been to Knott's Island, all right? And a ferry, okay, we took the ferry to school, all right? That's the island I grew up on. All right, so here we go. There's two churches on the island, the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church. And so there's this guy, Albert, man. He's an old fella, kind of no hair on top, gray around the outside, glasses, real thick glasses. You got to know the people from that area, man. You can hardly understand what they say. They got a dialect that's just interesting. They say words funny and a whole bit. Well, Albert, man, when he would worship God, I ain't kidding. I got to show y'all. This is just, I can't really describe it just because I don't know the words. All right. But Albert, man, he would get in the presence of God at Methodist Church. Okay. And you ever been to Methodist Church? He would do it. Amazing enough. Okay. And just kidding, man. There's great people that go to Methodist Church. God's there too. But dude, I don't know why, but he just did this thing, man. He'd just go, And it was me and my friends, man, we're like y'all's age, right? And we just sit across the church and be like, dude, he's doing it. That's all I do. And he was just getting it, man. He's getting with Jesus, you know? And, oh, man, it was so weird. And I don't know why I talked about that. That's interesting. Albert, y'all. Okay, if I do that, you know what I'm talking about, right? I don't know what that had to do with anything, but that was fun, right? Okay, good. All right. Yes, okay, so what I was talking about is this. Man, we can be impacted by people around us. Dude, Albert was no one. I mean, he wasn't anybody that was prominent, anyone that was influential. I mean, there weren't a lot of people that knew Albert. I think he crabbed for a living, because I think everybody on that island crabs for a living. But he was a crabber, and so just made enough money to get by, drove an old beat-up pickup truck. Nothing to his life. He's not somebody that you would see and think, man, that's an important guy. No, you'd see him and you go, okay, there's something weird about him. You know, I don't know what's going on there. But man, it impacted me, man, as a student, even going, hey, he's doing it again. Now I was noticing, dude, this guy, like, he's got something going with God, you know? I mean, it's a little bit funny. I mean, like, I ain't going to get up here and, you know, people be like running, like, something's wrong. He's going to explode or something. I don't know. But it was just this thing, man. I was just like, dude, he's got something, like, legitimate going on. I mean, he's expressing it funny, and I'm not sure about that. But, like he's really, this God thing's for real for him, you know? And it made an impact in my life. And I say that because of this. You know, society can tell you to look up to people that seem more successful than you, that seem like they've got the ideal life, that seem like maybe they got a lot of money in the bank, maybe they've been successful in what they've pursued as far as a career and that sort of thing. But I remember Albert. I don't know if I ever had a conversation with the man. I don't know that I ever, like, introduced myself. But he's a legend in my mind, man. He's somebody that just sticks out, man. When I think about my experience with God and just seeing people live it out. I mean, you've heard the term, you know, preach the gospel always, only use words when necessary. Man, he's somebody that did that. I don't know if I ever talked to him. I don't know if I ever heard a word come out of his mouth. I heard, you know. But, it grabbed my heart. I know it's weird. Y'all stick with me. But you had to be in the moment and realize that, man, this guy, he had a connection with God that I admire. And we need to have that heart to say, dude, who are the people in your life that might not be the coolest or the prettiest or the most noticeable or the most popular? But, man, they really get this God thing. It's interesting to me that Jesus' disciples, man, the very ones that turned the world upside down, were overlooked by everybody else. You know, you may not know this, but the Hebrew children, when they became of age, they would go to rabbi school, all of them. And the rabbi would take them into training, into apprenticeship, and that sort of thing. And he would spend time with them, and they would kind of follow him around and get kind of the run of the land, and they would get an opportunity to walk with him and talk with him and to minister with him, to, you know, in some ways. And so they would do that. And after a period of time, the rabbi would begin to pick. Okay, you can continue in the apprenticeship. And you cannot. You know, I feel like God's calling you. You're qualified. You're gifted. You can do this job. And so I want to confirm God's call in your life, or not so much. And it was seen as something of an embarrassment to be cast out of rabbi school. I mean, it was a select few that made it, but it was something of real pride. I mean, that was like that was the upper tier of anything anyone could do, is to become a rabbi, man, like a man of God. That was just something that was incredible and just a place of power and just sought after for that culture. It's interesting that Jesus finds these fishermen and tax collectors and doctors and all these others, man, that were rejected from rabbi school. They went back to their family business. So in other words, a rabbi looked at him and said, you know, God can't use you. I'm sorry, but you're not gonna function as a man of God in this life. And Jesus said, come follow me. And we know the world was turned upside down by those guys. So it's easy for us to look around and go, man, you know, he's not really that tall or that good looking, or she's not really that pretty or that eloquent, or, you know, she's kind of awkward, or he's awkward, he's weird, he's this, he's that, whatever, and begin to kind of push people off. But let me encourage you, man, to look around and begin to find people that whatever they smell like, look like, act like, whatever, man, you lock into them because they got a solid relationship with Jesus. This thing's bothering me a little bit. Good stuff. But we got to find people that have a solid relationship with Jesus. It's not about pursuing people that are, quote, successful. We got to find out what our Creator says about who we are. Man, we're looking everywhere else. Society wants to tell you. Everyone else wants to tell you. Man, doesn't it make sense? Just help me for a second. If we're trying to figure out who we are, our identity, what we're here for, doesn't it make sense to go to the one who created us
I mean, I'm not rocket scientist or anything. I'm not really all that smart, to be honest with you. All that being said, like, I'm pretty you know, elementary in my understanding of things, but it makes sense to me that if God made us, like, we didn't exist before he made us, then if we want to find out our purpose or our identity or who we were made to be, that we would kind of come back to him and go, hey, why'd you do that? You know what I mean? Like, okay, you made us. Why? So we come back to God and we begin to dig a little bit. Listen to this. It's kind of interesting, man. There's a lot of passages in Scripture, man. God wants us to know. He wants us to get an idea of what he created us for. God desires that hugely in our lives. Listen to what John chapter 15, verse 15 and 16 says. It says this, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Man, what an awesome thing to know that God says, look, I no longer call you a servant, but I call you a friend. You see, the thing about a servant is this, man. Yeah, Stanley, stand up for a second, dude. If Stanley's my servant, then I just, you know, it's that whole idea that I just say, Stanley, go do such and such. And Stanley just goes, just like that, okay? But if Stanley and I are friends, and I'm like, hey, Stanley, need you to go do whatever, then Stanley can quit, you know, he can say, well, you know, that's fine, I'll do that, but tell me why. I mean, what is it you need? And there's some interaction that happens, okay? Because we're friends. It's no longer like, you know, jump and you just jump. You know, it's not like that. It's like jump and you're going, okay, I'll do it, but like, help me out. Why? You know, what's going on? Like, I'm going to jump, and then what happens? Like, you know. And so there's communication that happens. You can sit down. So a servant is just simply a command, obedience. Okay? It's just the way it is. God goes further. He says, look, man, I'm not calling you a servant anymore as much as I'm calling you a friend. We throw that term around, but we need to get a picture of this tonight. God's big, right? He's big. I mean, the God of the universe, man, he started it all. He set it all in motion. Before God created, he was all there was. To us, we're going, wow, that's boring. I don't know. I mean, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Maybe that's why he created it. I don't know. But anyway, I mean, he just always has been. Don't try and figure it out. You can't, okay? Doesn't work. But he's just there. And the Bible says that he created. But beyond that, he says, look, man, you're no longer my servant. It's not about me just saying, do this, and you responding in obedience. Yes, that's an element of our relationship with God in the sense that he's the Lord, we're the follower, he's the leader. We're, you know, we owe him, we were bought with a price, we owe him everything, we serve him, he calls the shots. Yes, that is there. But he says this, I'm no longer calling you a servant, I'm calling you my friend. Man, how awesome is that? I mean, I've had some cool friends. Dude, I got some great friends, man. You guys met Justin. He's one of my closest friends. I got a buddy from the island with the stop sign. His name's Chris, and me and Chris have been friends for a long time. And so I got you know, probably a handful of real, real tight friends. You know, Cole was a good friend of mine, Bob, some of these guys. I mean, we made some close friendships, you know? And Matt, he's going, dude, what about me? All right, I'm going to stop calling names because I ain't got time to do them all. But anyway, got some close friends. Got some people in my life that I consider close. You can talk to your close friends about just about anything. You just share your heart. You guys know what I'm talking about. Hey, girls are great at this. Like at 3 a.m. in the morning when they have these silly lock-ins, they just like giggle for like 5 hours, and then they have these like truth talks, right? And they just talk about just all sorts of stuff that, whatever. It's just like, you know, stuff that boys just get chills about and stuff. I don't know. Anyway, but they have this talk, and you're like, you did what? Oh, my goodness. You know, they do that stuff. And I think, so I hear. I've never been to one. But I had two sisters. I had two sisters growing up. Just so you guys know, I don't go to girl sleepovers or nothing like that. But I had two sisters, and you get enough information to haunt you, okay, when you have two sisters. Okay, So all that being said, I mean, you can share your heart with your close friends. You guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys, man, if you're like me, you got a lot of folks that are friends, okay? In the sense that they're acquaintances. And then you probably got a handful or, you know, a couple handfuls that are like tight. You know what I mean? That like really know you. Dude, that you can just pour your heart out to. You ain't got to be fake about it all. You can just like, just let it all hang out. Like, here I am. This is what's up. You know, and you might not tell everyone that. In other words, there's a select group that you'll kind of just like, there it is, you know, and it's cool, man. It's cool to have folks in your life that you can just be real with, man. And you don't have to polish it up. You don't have to make it sound pretty. You don't have to you know, give, you know, explanation and defend yourself. You just let it, there it is. And you know they love you. You know you can trust them. You know they're there for you. Man, check this out. The God of the universe, the creator, the one that started it all, the one that's always been, man, he wants to be our friend. He says to us tonight, I no longer call you my servant. I want to be your friend. You know, God doesn't want to be one of those friends that you just kind of talk once in a while. You never really get too comfortable. You never really share too much. Dude, God wants to be tight. God wants to be somebody that you can just spill your guts to, man. And you don't polish it up. You don't make excuses. You don't pretend anything. You're just you. We can come before the creator of the universe and just be real. I mean, how cool is that? That God, dude, that in a minute could just go, okay, you're dead. You know, I mean, you can just chew and destroy it all. Because you know what? Servant's not good enough for you, man. I want to be your friend. What does a friend do, man? A friend knows your heart. Man, I got friends. Man, they know what I like to eat. They know what I like to drink. They know, I mean, they can finish sentences for me. They can tell you more about my past than I can. You know, I'm just like, really? That happened? You know, it's just like, okay, cool. I don't know if you say so, you know. But they just know me, dude. They know what I'm about, you know. And it's just fun like that. It's cool to be with them because it's just, there's nothing to hide. There's no reason to hide anything. There's trust and understanding and respect there. It's cool. Dude, and God wants to be tight. God wants us to begin to get his heart. I think about my buddy Justin and, man, it's almost silly when we hang out. I mean, it's we go from like ridiculous, like embarrass my wife kind of silly, crazy. He's a nut, man. That dude's just, he's not right. He's not really right. And I pray for him, but he's not in jail yet, so I'm excited about that. And just kidding. He loves God completely. That dude sold out for Jesus, but he's crazy. And so we have a great time. And Courtney, you know, all the time, we're like, you're embarrassing me. You're, you know, more him than me, but still we just get funny and goofy when we're together. You guys know what I'm talking about. You got friends like that. But then at the same time, man, in just a breath, you know, we can switch from funny to like, I mean, hearts out, you know? Like, dude, what's going on with you? Where you at? And just be so upfront and honest and real about life. Man, I think about God. I think about our relationship with God, and I think about how desperately God wants out of us. That we're just tight. I mean, talking about prayer without ceasing, talking about a close, intimate relationship with God. Man, God, and we get this picture of God, this weird, I don't know where it comes from, idea that God's sitting on this weird cartoon throne and his feet are like big as Statue of Liberty, and he's just, I don't know, if maybe that's me. I'm just weird, I guess. But like, that's not what God's about. We have to push through and understand that God wants to be our friend, dude. He wants to be somebody that we run to. I was talking with some folks at college, and one thing I hadn't thought about, one of the dudes fell, he was just running and just totally, like, wiped out. You know, you guys ever seen something, you gotta laugh, you know what I mean? It's just totally wipe, and you're just like, you know, you try not to, but you laugh. It's funny because people get hurt, and that's funny if they're not really hurt bad. And I remember, you know, what he said was, dude, I know that's God. I know God just cause something to cause me to struggle. You know, he's just up there and just stuck out a finger or something, just, you know, and just because, you know, I was like, that's kind of neat to think, you know, God's got a sense of humor like that, and he's up there just having fun, and that's cool, man. God's not up there just going, being all dignified and, oh, thou shalt not, you know. And it's cool to think that God's got personality, man. He's like that. He's fun. He's good. He has a good time with stuff. Man, isn't that cool to think that God isn't just up there like Colonel Sanders just, you know, and no, dude, God's personal. God wants to be our friend. I think about times that I spent in the presence of God, and I think about, man, what would it change about the way that we spend time with God if we began to think of him as a friend? Anybody got, like, close friends that you really love, really enjoy, that you absolutely hate to be around? No, dude, not at all, you know? Well, Courtney does, apparently, but you didn't think I saw your hand, did you? Good stuff. But no, you don't have friends that you, like, absolutely are tight with that you hate. No, it doesn't work like that, you know? I mean, you got some commonalities. You guys get along. There's things that cause you to be close to folks. Man, the same thing with our God. I wonder what it would change if we begin to see our God time as time with our close friend. Man, if we begin to see our worship time, the time that we spend just chasing God, not as a piece of the service that we do every week where they play some music and we come up here and are just bored for a while, or we raise our hands, or we do this, or we do that, or we sing, you know. Not where we do that, but where, dude, this is an opportunity on Wednesday night. Dude, I'm going to go chill with my friend. I'm going to go hang out with my God, dude. I'm going to get in the presence of God, and I'm going to get excited about what God's going to pour into my life, about what I'm going to begin to discover about his heartbeat, about his burdens, about what he wants to use me to do, about what he wants to speak into my heart, the things that he wants to tell me. Dude, I want to spend time with my friend. Now, how cool is that, dude? I mean, this isn't just some kid down the street that you just met that is kind of neat because this is new friend that you're discovering or whatever. Dude, this is God. And he, like, wants to be our friend. What would it change about the way we see him if we just began to get excited about our friend? That same passage goes on and says this: you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Man, how powerful is it to know that the creator of the universe, the God of all, he specifically chose you, and he chose me. Man, something that's really neat about that is this. God is all-knowing. Scary. He knows everything. Everything that has happened, everything that's presently happening, and everything that will happen. He knows it all. You and I become pretty good at living life in a way that we can kind of create ourselves in different situations. I mean, you guys know that, I've seen it in my own life, just being transparent, and I would imagine that it's this way for you. You hang out with a certain group of people that are into certain things. You know, maybe you hang out with people that are athletic, you know, at school, or, you know, you got some trip or some outing, or you go to some sleepover, some party, some outing somewhere, and there are people there that you know are athletic. Well, you kind of dress a little bit more athletic-ish, okay, than what you might normally. Nothing over the top. I mean, you're not, like, you know, walking out all, you know, basketballed out if you don't do that, or, you know, you just do something, a little sweatband action, you know, a little something, you do a little something just to athleticize yourself, you know, and even if you don't do that, you know, you just kind of throw out a couple big name stars, you know, whatever. You don't know who they are. You're like, LeBron James, he kicked an awesome goal in that Spain game today, you know, and, you know, so he's like, what, you know, he's like, Matt, love you, man, But yeah, I mean, sometimes you can goof that up, but you do something. You know, you're like, these are all, you know, athletes or cheerleaders. They do, you know, this, they do sports and stuff. So I'm going to throw on my Nikes, man, and polish them up real nice and put on my headband sideways like Carmella. I'm going to roll that thing, you know, whatever. Okay, and maybe they're not so much into that. Maybe they're like skaters or whatever. And you're like, okay, they skate, so I got to turn my head a little sideways, flatten the bill out, I got to do that thing, and I got to, you know, you do some of those things. And I'm not saying you go over the top, but you begin to adapt a little bit. You guys know what I'm talking about? Some small little adaptions, okay? I'm not saying like you transform. We're not like Transformers going, okay, you know, this is new wardrobe, nothing like that. But there's some minor adaptions that you'll make depending on who you're spending time with, okay? And why do we do that? We do it because we want to be accepted. We do it because we want to identify with those individuals, okay? That being said, sometimes we can do that so much so that we begin to lose track of who we really are. We do it for the athletes. We do it for this group or that group. We do it for these folks or those folks. And we can begin to lose track of exactly who we are. We have to find our identity in who God says we are. And we have to be careful about that. You know, we have to understand that God's created us to be someone. He's created us to be an individual. You know, God chose us. And it's important to know God knowing it all. He knows who we are. We many times don't, especially if we never come and ask God to show us, man. Here's a question, and I don't want you to respond. I want you to think, how many of you have actually come to God and said, God, show me who I am? You know, he knows that. God's not going, well, let me get back to you. God's not going, well, I never really got that thought. I mean, I'm just going to like put you together and, no. Dude, he knows who you are. God knows it. He knew it before you were born, before the foundation of the world, man. He knew who you are, who you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be doing. He knew that. But have you ever come to God and asked him, Lord, show me. Show me who is it that I'm supposed to be. Help me to find my identity and who you created me to be. Have you ever done that? God knows it all, man. Nothing's hidden from him. And he chose us. That's powerful. God knows the things that you would never tell anyone about. God knows the things that you hate remembering. God knows the things you regret. God knows the things that have happened to you that you've done to others. Man, God knows those things, man, that you wish they just weren't a part of your life, but they're back there somewhere. Man, God knows them. And you know beyond that, he knows everything that will happen for the rest of your life. The good, the bad, the ugly, the things you'll be excited about, the successes, the failures, the regrets. He knows it all. He knows it all. You know, he knows what will happen, even though it hasn't happened yet. He knows it all. And the Bible tells us, look, he chose you and he chooses me. I think about how insecure we can be to let people into our lives. You know, that's really the reason that we adapt, is that we just don't want people to see who we really are. And many times we don't even know who that is, but we're just so slow to let people in. Why? Because we're scared that if they see us for who we are, they might not like us. They may be disappointed. They might think less of us. And to know that God himself, man, sees it, knows it all. There's nothing you've ever done that's ever been done to you, that you've ever been a part of, that you've ever even thought that God doesn't know about. And you know, for the rest of your life, he already knows about it. And the Bible says that he chooses you and he chooses me. God says we're a friend. Man, do you feel like the friend of God? Do you feel like you and God have a functioning friendship? Man, do you look at God as somebody you're excited to spend time with? Man, it's an awesome thing to do what we do, man, and we see these friendships be formed, and it's awesome, man. I mean, you know, new folks come in to merge, and they, you know, these people meet, and blah, 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 and then they're texting and calling. You see them on Facebook flashing back and forth and doing this and doing that, and they're hanging out. It's cool, man, to see friendships begin to happen. I guess my prayer tonight would be this. You know, God says that we're no longer servants, but we're his friend. And then understand that he knows everything. everything. He chooses us. I guess my prayer would be, God, help us to be a good friend. Man, help us to be excited about being a friend of God. Man, that would be something that would excite us, that we could learn your heart and feel your burden and know direction for our lives. And God, that we would somehow push through some of the guilt and the shame and the excuses and understand that, God, you know it all already and you choose us. So I guess my question tonight is, if you know that God wants you to be a friend and you know that God chooses you, do you choose him? Bow your heads with me. God, I thank you, Lord, for your touch and your faithfulness in our lives. Students, two questions tonight. First question is this, man. You say, Pastor Brooke, tonight, man, I want my relationship with God to be the best relationship I have. I want to know that, man, I'm a friend of God, that relationship is important to me, that I'm learning his heart, that I'm drawing close to him, that I'm reaching out to him, that I'm discovering what he wants to teach me and tell me. And tonight I want to work on being a better friend. Being a better friend. Students, if that would be you, you say, man, I want to be a friend of God. Man, I want to begin to turn my heart into that relationship. That would be you, man. Just slip a hand up and say, man, I want to be somebody that chases after God. I want to be a friend of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all creation. I want him to be my friend. Thank you. Thank you for your hands. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Brooke, I have trouble. Man, I got junk in my life, junk in my past. And I have trouble accepting that God chooses me. Perhaps you'd be here and man, you're just so bound. You're just so caught up in the things that have happened. But tonight you feel the Lord speaking to you. And tonight you'd say, God, if you choose me, then man, I choose you. If there's some way that you can reach me, seeing everything I've done, everything I've been a part of, the things that have been in my life, you still choose me. Then God, if you still choose me, then man, I want to choose you too. And that would be your heart tonight and say, Pastor Brooke, I want to choose God tonight, man. I'm not saying you're not saved or you are saved, whatever. But tonight you just would respond that I want to choose God. If you'd be here and you say, Pastor Brooke, man, I just want to choose God tonight, knowing you chose me and I'm so undeserving, dude. I want to choose God, dude. I want to serve God. I want to step out there. Make myself available to Jesus. If that would be you, you say, man, I want to choose God tonight. Just put a hand up right where you're at. Say, man, I just want to choose God. Thank you. Guys, look up at me. This identity thing is huge. I think we're probably going to spend another week or two on it. I'm not trying to bore anyone. I hope this is stuff that you're thinking about, that the Lord's speaking to you about. Got a lot more information, and I'm going to pray about how we go about that. I think next week's format will be a bit different. But I just, man, be thinking about that. What did God create you for? What's his purpose in your life? Know this, you're a friend of God. And secondly, God chooses you. He knows it all, and he chooses you anyway. That's awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for being here tonight. We got